Well, it is wonderful to have everyone here. Tonight, if you haven't already gotten the message, tonight is our Give Forward celebration, where we honor the heritage, the past that we have as a strong church, Central Assembly, over 100 years young right now. And we are so excited about also tonight. It's our annual celebration where we cast vision for the future. Everyone say that word vision with me. That's right. This is tonight where we, our annual time where we come together, we cast vision together. Now, many of you may know that we are right in the middle of a five-year plan. Back in 2006, we started a five-year plan that helps build upon the core values and the mission that we have at Central, which our mission statement is to connect people with God, each other, and their purpose in life. And we also believe that a healthy Christian is a growing Christian. So we have this acrostic that's based around the word grow that sort of encapsulates the core values that we have as a church. G is for very good, generous-hearted. I think Pastor Jim was the only one that got that one. But I know you guys were saying it in your heart. That's what it was. Generous-hearted. And R is for relationally connected. O is for outwardly focused, and W for worship-centered. Back in 2006, we kicked off this five-year plan with the Year of Volunteer, Year of the Volunteer, or Year of People. We believe that before God's going to, you know, send us a great harvest, we've got to have the workers, we've got to have the laborers that are ready and willing to reach the harvest. And so we said, God, what can we do as a church to maybe double the amount of volunteers that we have represented in each one of our ministries? Now, for some of us, like myself, when I came on staff in that year, it was actually very easy to double in volunteers because at that moment I had zero. So, you know, things were going great after I had like two, and me and my wife, and we're great. We've doubled, you know, check off. But, you know, for someone like Justin, Pastor Justin, the children's, who oversees all of our children's ministry, literally a couple hundred volunteers every single week. This was sort of, you know, he gets deer in the headlights, you know, and, but it was a great year to really strive and say, God, we've got to enlarge our volunteer base. And then we moved on to 2007. We kicked off our Year of the Spirit. You remember in January of that year, 2007, we brought in Tim Enlow and we hosted our Spirit, Holy Spirit Conference, had a great time, a great move of the Spirit during those couple of days. And we also, that entire year, we celebrated our 100th year anniversary. In June of that year, we had our 100th year anniversary right here in the Multipurpose Hall. And it was just a great time to celebrate what the Spirit of God has been doing in this place. And we celebrated that, what He's been doing here in this place for over 100 years. Then in 2008, the year that we're in now, we move into the Year of Outreach. The Year of Outreach is such a strategic year for us. And I remember when Pastor was going over this five-year plan for us, you know, the Year of People, Year of Volunteer, Year of the Spirit, and Year of Outreach. And one day, I'm sitting in a staff meeting, and I just thought, hey, that's a very biblical model. And so I just thought I was going to be like the overachieving student in the classroom, you know, so I just... Hey, can I just make an observation about our five-year plan? And, you know, go ahead, Pastor, go ahead, Mike. I said, hey, I just realized that this five-year plan is a very biblical model. Did you know that? And, you know, and just, oh, Mike, we're so glad you're here on staff with us. And so, oh, man. Okay, so the Year of Outreach was just, I mean, this has been a fantastic year. I mean, one of the things that we did right at the beginning of the year, we combined our Adopt-A-Block ministry and our oil change ministry for single moms, and we combined them on the second Saturday of each month, and we call it our Community Connection Day, and it's been an absolute fantastic ministry. And really, I don't think the amount of time that we've been doing this has yet to see the dividends that this is going to pay. I mean, people are really starting to open up their doors. We have people going through tragedies in life, and yet now they know who they can that can pray for them on a weekly basis. Dave Ayers and Judy Murphy are leaders. Judy Murphy is our leader. They were telling me the other day after church they went over and had this just a barbecue lunch with these people. It wasn't Community Connection Weekend or anything like that. They went over and just had lunch with them, and they started bringing all their friends over from the neighborhood because they wanted to ask them all of their hard, difficult God questions to Judy and Dave. And Dave told me the other day, he said, I was just trying to get back to barbecue, you know. So, but God is opening up the doors, and it's really, really amazing. 2009, we're going to be launching into our year of missions, and that's what the focus of tonight is going to be. And then in 2010, we will be going into the year of expansion. We're still praying about what God is going to do during this year, but we do know that we feel like that what's on our heart is that God, we've taken the influence of Central and what we can do. We've come together as a team and said, okay, what can we do in the world globally in missions in 2009? And the year of expansion is about how can we expand our influence here in the city of Springfield? And that's the five-year plan in a nutshell. Now, just reflecting a little bit on what God has done this year in 2008, our year of outreach, we thought it'd be nice for you to hear just from a handful of people who God's really been using this year. And the first person I want to invite, in fact, I want to go ahead and invite up all of the people that are going to be sharing briefly in this segment. But we want to invite, first of all, Dar Matrone to come up because she is going to talk a little bit about what God has been doing in really expanding the influence of the food pantry. And Dar's going to share a little bit about what God's been doing and the favor that they've been given. And it's going to be, this absolutely astounds me. I'll be leaving work sometimes, have to go out for an appointment, come back, and people are already lining up about 3 in the afternoon, and they're just, by the time the doors open, literally several hundred people are being served in several occasions during the month. And Dar, why don't you tell us, there's a mic right there, why don't you tell us a little bit about the expansion of the food pantry and what's been happening in 2008?
Sure. Good evening, everybody. We've experienced tremendous growth this year in the food pantry. In fact, in the last month, we've served over 235 families, which equals out to probably about 550 people. And, you know, as you all know, the economy is not great right now. And so these people are suffering even more. They have such small budgets. If you can imagine living on less than $15,000 a year trying to take care of your family. And so gas prices, food prices are going up, and those small things make a big difference in their budgets, in their everyday budgets. And of course, with winter coming now, having to heat their homes, it's just going to cost even more for them this year. And for instance, I have a few families that I spoke to last year during the winter months that, and just imagine this, did not even run their heat during the winter time, or many of their lights. They would go home, they would bundle up, and they would get in their beds with their kids, and that's how they would keep warm for the evening. And so just kind of put yourself in their place and imagine what that might be like. And because of those of you who faithfully give to Central Assembly, we've been able to extend God's hand to our neighbors, which has been an incredible blessing, I know, to them. There's a quote that I really love by Mother Teresa. It says, "You can do no great things, just small things with great love." You can do no great things, just small things with great love. And I think that's really the most important aspect of this ministry. Each one of you has been a part of showing God's love by meeting a need in a tangible way. Our gifts and service have become His hand extended, His love extended. Mike wanted me to tell a specific story, and there are so many stories that I could tell. But the story that I want to tell tonight has been repeated numerous times since the start of this ministry over 4 years ago. And this is what I hear, and this is what our volunteers hear week after week after week. And this is what makes the difference in these people's lives. And we're giving them food, and it's very tangible, and that's a wonderful thing, but we're giving them so much more. This is what we hear. Thank you for being kind to us. Thank you for smiling at us. Thank you for hugging me. Thank you for listening. And thank you for praying for me. And our volunteers spend as much time as they possibly can. And it's crazy. I would love for all of you to just come and experience it just one night. It's pretty wild. It's a wild couple of hours, and we just kind of go for it, and we work really hard. But the premise of this ministry for me at the very beginning was, let's forget our day when we come into this place, and let's show people how much we really, really love them. And not by just giving them food, but just giving of ourselves to them. And I really feel like that's the message tonight. And just really, really loving them. God views these precious people the same as he views us. They're just like us. We're just a step away from their experience. I have many people that come in and say, "This, I've never had to do this before. This is really hard for me to come here tonight." And sometimes I want to cry because it just hurts me for them to see how hard it is for them. And I just try to help them see, you know, we're here for you now, and someday you'll be there for somebody that needs you. They experience God's love through us. The food pantry is more than just about giving food. It's about opening our doors so that they can have the opportunity to experience the bread of life. And that's really what it's all about, getting them into these four doors, this big, scary church that might be a little intimidating to them when they walk by or when they drive by. But when they come in and our arms are open to them, then they can feel more comfortable in actually coming to a church service. And we've been able to share with them. And for instance, a few weeks ago when we had our tables out here in the lobby, Elizabeth Lombardi, who's in the choir, sat at one of the tables. And she's not normally able to be out in the lobby like most of us in the music department. But she said, "Dar, you will not believe how many food pantry people are coming to church." And it's hard to tell, you know, when you're looking out into the congregation. She said she just couldn't believe it. So things are happening in the lives of these people, and that's really what we want to see happen. I realize that not everybody is going to come to church, but we will catch some in the net. So I just really covet your prayers for the food pantry ministry. Pray that he would give us wisdom and that he would enable us to reach our neighbors in better ways. We're always trying to improve, and we just really need wisdom right now to make some great changes. And also pray for our recipients. Pray that they would be drawn to God as we endeavor to allow him to work through us. Thank you so much for giving. It means so very much. It's because of you that we're able to do this ministry.
Amen. Amen. We definitely want to express our appreciation. If you are a volunteer of the food pantry, I know that I've seen a few. I'd just like you to stand for just a moment. If you're a volunteer for a food pantry here, just take a look around. I know many times this can be a thankless ministry, but we want to appreciate you too. Thank you so much for what you do. And thanks, Star. Thanks.
I would like to introduce to you Sylvia Rivera, who is a very committed small group leader here at Central. Sylvia and her husband Max live in the Quail Ridge apartment complex. And Sylvia, as I've gotten to know her, I've discovered has a very, very missional heart. And so she started a small group there in the apartment complex for women, a weekly meeting to connect women to each other and to develop friendship and have fun times and to pray. That was really one of your goals, was to pray. And Sylvia shared with me a lot of the women there are single moms with limited resources and a lot of challenges. And her heart is that these women would come to Christ. So when you birthed your small group, you confronted a couple challenges right off the bat. These were a lot of goals to accomplish in a weekly one-hour meeting. And you found that some of the women were intimidated or scared away by the concept of praying together. So you went to prayer, and you felt like God gave you a fresh vision, a strategy. And so why don't you share that with us?
He had given me a vision in my mind, and it just wasn't coming together. And so I prayed, and he gave me a whole new vision, and that is, instead of having a weekly one-hour meeting to cover all of those goals, that on the first Thursday of every month, we would get together for 2 hours, pure fellowship, pure fellowship, just to get the people to know each other and have fun with each other. And then the other 3 weeks would be for those who wanted to pray could come and do that part. And I wanted to keep it a safe environment. The Lord told me you need to make it safe so they feel comfortable to come. And so we set up the rules of no gossip, no pushing of anything such as politics or products or religion. And we set it up that you can be who you are, if you're a Christian or whatever it is that you might want to push. But we could be who we are, but not push it during the fellowship meetings. And at the first fellowship meeting, we had quite a few people come. And so the vision is now in full bloom. God's vision that I had originally is now happening.
What are some of the results you've seen since this fresh strategy has started?
Well, I've only had two meetings of the new kind of meetings, the fellowship type. And in that time, we've increased from 2 people to 10 people. And so I praise God for that. And not only that, but we get together as we want with one another in between meetings. And I've had many women knock on my door and pour out their hearts. And so there is a great, great need in their hearts for Jesus. And they are opening themselves up to me. And I've been able to pray for them. And so even if it's not a meeting time, they're there and I pray for them. And so I don't know what's going to happen in the next few months, but I believe God has brought them into my life and into the other faithful member I had before, into our lives so that we can harvest these souls, that we can be part of his harvest in this apartment complex. And they have shared with me things that are so heartbreaking, abuse, depression, loneliness, financial problems, just you name it, they are suffering. And so I just thank God that he's put me in that complex and that I can be there and that he gave me this new vision. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to do because it's very clear that he's in the midst of this.
So God has really used you as a minister right there in Quail Ridge. Mm-hmm. Share with everyone tonight what your greater vision is. I know you have a big, big vision.
Yes, my greater vision is that other people within this congregation would get that same vision for their community, whether they live in a certain subdivision, if they live in an apartment complex, but that they would look at their neighborhood, invite people in for fellowship, get to know them and pray with them. And what I feel is, I don't remember the man's name, but at the beginning this year when he came and talked about evangelism and he talked about you're the chaplain of your neighborhood, that's what's happened in my neighborhood. And I would love to see hundreds of chaplains throughout this city being chaplains to their neighbors.
I love that. Love your missional heart, just like Jesus. Let's thank Sylvia tonight. Let's show her appreciation for sharing with us tonight. Thank you, Sylvia.
Our last interview tonight is with Yuriko and Daisuke, and I want to ask them to go ahead and come on up. Yuriko and Daisuke lead our Japanese International Ministries, and they have seen an absolute amazing growth through the souls that have come in, and literally just, this is probably one of the great couples that I know that are soul winners. I mean, there's just no other way to describe it, and I just appreciate them so much. But Yuriko and Daisuke, I'd like to ask you to talk to us a little bit about the Japanese International Ministry. What do you do on a regular basis, and maybe some of the things that God, some of the stories that God has been doing through the ministry?
We Japanese ministry have three meeting a week. On Sunday morning from 10:30, we have a Japanese / English bilingual service at church basement. And I appreciate Dr. Edgar Lee's class always make a hot coffee for us, and we enjoy hot coffee. They also pray for us for blessing our meeting and salvation of new people. So appreciate deeply. And Wednesday night, we just started a prayer meeting. And since we began the prayer meeting, it's going well. And the third one is a Saturday morning Japanese Ladies Bible Study. Yoriko is leading Japanese Ladies Bible Study. We have 10 people in the service, in the meeting, yes.
Wow. Well, Yoriko, maybe tell us a little bit about some of the people that God has been touching through the ministry and just some of the amazing stories that are there.
Yes, I'm very excited to share with you the work of Holy Spirit this 2008. God brought one lady from Philippines into my life. Her name is Sally. Just because she speaks Japanese fluently, when I went to the Japanese Korean grocery store, while I was speaking with my daughter in Japanese, she joined our conversation. So we met that time. But during that time, this church had a 40 days fasting and prayer chain. And I knew this was the God's appointment. And I had a confidence to invite her to the church. And she responds yes. So for a month, she has visited with us to this church. And I remember January 7th, during his first service, I sit with her in the sanctuary. And the end of the service, I invite her to the relationship with Jesus Christ. And she said yes. So we went to the altar call, and she really became a Christian. And after that, praise God, that's the work of Holy Spirit. And when I met her, she was full of anger and she was full of bitterness to everything. Since she gave me permission this morning to share this, so I'd like to share about how God transformed her life. She divorced with a Japanese husband after 14 years marriage in Japan. That's the reason she speaks Japanese. But she was so hurt by this relationship. She was so full of bitterness to the people. So whenever she speaks the word, I could sense she's angry. She's so angry. But on the day she accepted Christ, God started to transform her spirit from the bitterness to the forgiveness, from the anger to the peace and the joy of salvation. And she was so excited about Jesus, she started to evangelize her new American husband, Tim. He's working in the Pentagon. The reason why that Sally was in this city is that Tim was told to leave for Iraq for several months. So Tim sent her wife and children to her father's house, which is in Springfield, Missouri. And when Tim visited this church, Sally really wanted him to know about Jesus. So at the end of service, I again wanted to make sure his relationship with Jesus Christ. And he said, yes. So we went to the altar and he prayed about accepting Christ. And he left to Iraq for several months. So Japanese ladies had to really supporting Sally's life, and Sally was pregnant that time, and Sally had a baby last March, and Sally and daughter had a water baptism last May, and 2 weeks ago, Tim came back from Iraq safely. We so rejoiced, and last week, we had a meal together, and Tim told me that he has been going to the field service in Iraq, the base, every Sunday and Wednesday night, just for the relationship with Jesus. Praise and God. Now he's ready to have a water baptism in next month in this church. I just praise God how God is able to transform people's life. And as Paul said, we are not ashamed of telling a gospel. Yes, we are standing here, Springfield, Missouri, to tell the gospel. Not to shame, but we are standing in the midst of between the world and church. We're telling the gospel about the power of gospel.
Amen. Let's thank the Lord, can we? I just feel like we should have a moment of prayer and just pray over all of our ministries that are going on. And we were only able to share a couple of stories tonight, three stories with you tonight. And there are literally hundreds of stories. But tonight, I just feel like we should come together right now and just pray, because although this five-year plan, it's really an emphasis. It's not like we stop doing all these other things when the next year comes, and we want to continue to see just the harvest to come in this city. Would you pray with me? Lord, we just thank you so much for this evening, and we ask you, Lord, that you'd seal by faith what you're doing. Lord, in all of the ministries, with all of the people here, Lord, with the food pantry, Lord, with what you're doing with Sylvia, Lord, in her neighborhood, and Lord, with Yuriko and Daisuke, Lord, we pray that you'd continue to expand our influence. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that lost would become saved. Lord, that people that are dead in their faith would be awakened and quickened by the Holy Spirit to accept you and to come. Lord, I pray that questions, Lord, that are brewing in people's hearts, Lord, I pray that you'd intersect, Lord, people of faith with them. And Lord, we pray that you would do it in the strong, strong name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, some of you may be saying, those are some great stories, but I really don't know how to do that at all. I'm still a little intimidated, and sometimes we like, as teachers, sometimes the best way to teach is to teach the way not to do it. We'd like you to watch this video.
Here at the National Institute,